Turn to read God's Word, and we're going to read again in the book of Proverbs. This morning we were in the book and in chapter 9. Let's go to chapter 8 this evening. We're going to read therefore from Proverbs and chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry or shout out, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on the top of high places, by the way and the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honour are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or even the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and he shall obtain favour of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us again understanding in that reading and portion of his own holy word. we continue our worship, this time coming to Psalm 37 to sing from verse 28. Psalm 37 and at verse 28, "For God loves judgment, and his saints leaves not in any case. They are kept ever, but cut off shall be the sinner's race. The just inherit shall the land, and ever in it dwell. The just man's mouth doth wisdom speak, his tongue doth judgment tell. In his heart the law is of his God, his steps slide not away. The wicked man doth watch the just, and seeketh him to slay. Yet him the Lord will not forsake, nor leave him in his hands. The righteous will he not condemn when he in judgment stands. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and thee exalt shall he, the earth to inherit. When cut off the wicked thou shalt see." Psalm 37 from 28 to 34, five stanzas, "For God loves judgment." Would you turn with me tonight then to the portion we read there together, the book of Proverbs and chapter 8. And I want to read again from verse 32. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hear me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." And just simply the very words at the beginning of that reading in verse 32. "Now therefore, hearken to me." The call that wisdom is giving to us. Listen to what I've got to say. That's the substance of this whole chapter. And what I'd like to do tonight is to build up the understanding and the structure of this chapter, coming to that challenge as we have it before us tonight. This morning we were in the book of Proverbs in chapter 9, and we saw something of the structure and something of the intention of this book of Proverbs. It's the preparing of a son for life out there in the big bad world. It's a father that is instructing a child, fitting out his mind with spiritual principles, illustrations, examples, seeking to put a hedge and a fence round his ways to direct him in the path that he has to walk. And all of that process is summed up by simply conferring or stimulating wisdom upon and to that son. And this wisdom that we're talking about, it's not the wisdom that gets or comes out of books in a library. It's not the wisdom that you get in the cold clinical lecture theatre of universities and colleges. The wisdom that is being spoken about in the book of Proverbs, it's the hands-on ability to live and to behave in a certain Christian way. In our relationships with other people, be it friend or family or others. The way we deal with money and other possessions that we've got, material things. How do we handle pride, anger, and other emotions? That's the kind of thing that Proverbs deals with, to fit us out as how to live a Christian life. It speaks about, just to give one example, somebody who keeps on popping in and out for that, you know, the old fashioned way of putting it, for the bowl of sugar or for something like that. And anytime anybody comes in, they always wait for longer than necessary to catch up on all the gossip that's going. The book of Proverbs has something to say to that. Keep your food from your neighbor's door lest you weary him. That's exactly how up to date the book of Proverbs is. To equip us to live in modern day situation and society. But it's always focusing and it's always setting before us the Christian path. To walk and to live in the ways of the Lord within the hedges, within the fences of Scripture. We are given and our minds, the Son of the Father here is fitted out with knowledge, with principles, so that a value judgment can be arrived at and be made. So that we come to a conclusion, not on the basis of what we see, not on the basis of what is immediately round about us. That's the way so many people in society behave. It's right now and what's before me that influences the judgment that people make. And so often that's a bad way of judging. But what we've got with wisdom is that ability to look deeper into any situation. That ability to think through the consequences of what we're going to do or say. So we're going deeper and we're going out further. We're looking at the bigger picture. Beyond even the borders of time itself. And wisdom makes us think about eternity. That's what we're going to have in our last psalm. Wisdom to number our days, to apply our hearts to being right with God. Discernment. That's what we saw. The father and son relationship this morning. But we also saw the way in which wisdom is now portrayed as a person. There is woman, the lady called wisdom. And she is shouting out and calling out and trying to get the attention of everybody that's round about her. She is addressing society today. She is addressing society on important spiritual matters and issues. Wisdom is speaking to us about a relationship with God and where we are on the spiritual spectrum. Are we in the light or are we still in the dark? There's a constant urgency about what wisdom is saying to us. Why? Because these issues that wisdom is speaking about, the issues that stake your soul and mine, are huge. Eternal consequences hang upon them. What we do now molds and sets what happens to us then. And so wisdom speaks to us with urgency, with insistence. But wisdom is also speaking with urgency because there's always, and we were thinking of it this morning, there's always competition. Yes, there's Lady Wisdom speaking to us. And on the other side, there is a foolish woman. The folly of a foolish woman. Verse 13 of chapter 9, a foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple. She knows nothing. And because she's there addressing people, tempting them into the house of death, where the guests are enclosed and consigned to hell. Because of that, her trade and her intent. Wisdom is all the more insistent on speaking out. Addressing us. Calling on us to take the teaching of wisdom to ourselves and apply it in our life and living. So therefore, tonight I want us to think about wisdom itself as is given to us in this chapter 8 of Proverbs. 6 or 7 simple brief thoughts again to understand this chapter and to put it in context as to the challenge that is given to us here. And first thing I want us to do is simply this. I want us to introduce wisdom herself. I want to introduce wisdom. Where is she found? Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She stands on the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path, that is, at the crossroads, the wayfaring pathways of that day. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city. Where is wisdom to be found? Where are you introduced to wisdom? Wisdom wants as much exposure as possible. She calls out and she raises her voice at every opportunity. In all of the chaos of life, in all of the buzz that's going on, young ones and old ones alike, that everything that fills her mind, that clutters her mind, everything that is there packing into her life, wisdom is there knocking at the door, seeking to speak to you and to me on spiritual things. Particularly drawing our attention to the cross. Telling us, instructing us, giving us time and time and time again, teaching about what its meaning is and its significance is for us. Showing to us the requirements of the Lord in repentance and faith. Pointing out to us the road that leads from the cross to the heavenly city of Zion. Things that need to be spoken about, needs to be shared with people in society today. That's what wisdom wants, and that's what wisdom is engaged in. Where is she found? We're told right here. Today, in so many different areas of industry and work, there's always a vocabulary of in phrases. There's always technical terms that are bandied about by those on the inside track. And if you try to speak about these things to other people, they simply cannot follow you. But not so God's wisdom. Read again verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. The burden that she's got in all of the exposure she's cultivating. She wants to get across the simple but vital truths and teachings about the cross and about the gospel. It's not something that's possessed by a little elite circle. She wants, we're told in verse 4, the common people to hear it all. Unto you, O man, I call. My voice is to whom? To the Son of Man. Wisdom comes right down beside you, where you are in church, right now beside you, and wisdom is speaking insistently to you and to me about spiritual things. She's there on the hilltop. A hilltop where she can command a wide audience to address. But also on the hilltop, there is that air and appearance of authority and supremacy in what she says. She's there at the crossroads where there is so much business and trade coming and going, where there are so many people passing by along the path that people travel in life. Yes, that's where she's found as well, but that's the place also where choices have to be made, this way or that. And there she is on hand to guide in these choices to be made. She speaks at the city gate, that social place where all the people, the elders from gather at the gate of the city. But it's also a place where there's important discussion and judgments and transactions take place, where wisdom is required, and there she is on hand to impart. We are introduced to wisdom. She is there in a prominent place. She is there with an insistent voice. She is there even now beside every one of us. And when she speaks, it's not difficult to hear what she's got to say. She meets us. She walks with us and keeps company with us when we go. And in this coming week, whenever you and I might be alone, be it on holiday or at work or in home, just these moments when we're alone, she comes beside us to remind us of things that she said to us in the past. We are introduced to wisdom and her ministry to us. But what else have we got here? Not only are we introduced to wisdom, we're also here told she identifies her products for us, her produce for us. Verse 5. Oh, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. What are the products that wisdom imparts? People today have their own image and their own understanding and their own picture of God. They have their own understanding of what religion is or is not. And they shut out whatever disturbs that picture they've made up and concocted themselves. And wisdom comes alongside. And wisdom is prepared to set out a table spread with Christian spiritual truths that challenge what people think and the way people think. Wisdom is prepared to come alongside with noble things. Wisdom is prepared to come and make definitions and give principles. High and lofty things. To stretch the mind. To fill it out with new ideas. To take us where we've never been before. A wake-up call to our society today that is so captivated by its own thoughts and doing what is right in its own eyes. What are the products that wisdom produces? I will speak of excellent things, noble things. Walk along the high street, and as you go past people, and as you catch a glimpse of a conversation, how often it's foul, filled with blasphemy, double entendres and innuendos. How much of a gutter there is going around, not just simply in the gutter today. But here is wisdom, and it says, I will speak of noble things. Speaking of truth, of righteousness. And there's nothing devious, there's no traps in what truth wisdom speaks of. There is a reality that wisdom is at pains to bring home to us. There's a reality about the Christian life and about being a Christian. There are no hidden things. We have in the New Testament a phrase, count the cost. Go into the Christian life and the Christian path with your eyes wide open so that you're not surprised by what you meet down the road. And that's exactly what wisdom does. It brings home to us noble things, truth and righteousness, to fit out our lives for living today. Plain and simple gospel truths. There are many things we've talked about today. There's a whole range of things, knowledge there round about us. There are many things that we can lay to one side and that are laid to one side. There are many things that people just simply disregard day after day, holding them at arm's distance. But there are some things that are important. A relationship with God. And that's what wisdom is doing, producing, setting out on the table these noble things. And notice the way in which that is brought home to us. This and this and this. How do you know just how noble these things are? Listen to the comparison that wisdom makes. Verse 11. Wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to wisdom. Rubies don't even come close. Wisdom is more precious than gold and silver and rubies and everything else that man counts to be valuable. That's the kind of quality of product that wisdom brings with her. That's the kind of thing that we've got to desire today. We set our sights far too low. We chase after things that are so insignificant. We want things that are so fleeting and so passing. And all the while there is this precious wisdom teaching us about salvation. We need to learn as a society not just simply the price of everything and the value of nothing. But we need to know that there are some things that money cannot buy. No matter how much somebody has, there are some things you just cannot buy. But equally, there are those people who don't have just so much. There are those people who don't have all that much going for them. But they can be well off, better than others who have more in the bank than they have. They can be well off if they have this precious, precious character, wisdom, teaching us the ways of God. Wisdom, we've been introduced to her. She's identified to us the products that she brings to this meeting with us. What else are we told here about wisdom? We're told here that wisdom influences rulers. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. By me kings rule, by me princes rule, judges rule. The great and the noble depend upon wisdom to discharge the responsibility. Today, self-reliance is the name of the game. Today, you do it your way, and that seemed to be something great and strong and confident. That's a leadership quality that is put on great value in our society. Self-reliance. And when you look at when society looks at the Christian faith, and the way in which there is humility and dependence on the Lord there, when we rely on the Lord for so many things, that's the very kind of attitude that is dismissed, put to one side. So often today, to be like that in the cut and thrust of the business world, be it in London or anywhere else, you'd be called a wimp. But these very qualities that men put down, these are the very assets that wisdom creates and gives the quality to rule and to direct. Solomon, remember, Right at the very beginning of his reign, God asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Solomon immediately confessed, "I am as a child. I don't know how to guide people. I don't know how to rule. I lack that quality that is going to be demanded of me so much." And God bestowed upon him an understanding heart, gave him wisdom as a king to rule. Wisdom influences rulers. We're told here, counsel is mine. Sound judgment. A judgment that's based on principles, not on people or party lines. We are told that wisdom gives understanding. Often problems arise, not because of the wrong answer, but because instead it's the wrong question that has been started with. We need to see the full picture. And wisdom guides us and leads us to understand the whole breadth of the problem. When we stumble, and when we got things wrong, there's no problem with a leader with wisdom saying he's got it wrong and starting again. But you try finding a politician today that's prepared to say it first go, "Sorry, got it wrong." He's got to be dragged to some parliament committee. He's got to be dragged through all the pages of the papers. He's got to be dragged here and there, cut, screaming and kicking, before he says, "Sorry, I got it wrong." But the ruler with wisdom, whenever that brought home, is prepared to acknowledge, "I got it wrong. I will start again." Wisdom influences rulers. What does Scotland need today? We hear it being said, what we need is a referendum. What we need are more renewables. What we need is more industry. What we need is a better infrastructure. All of them have their place. But what we need is for our leaders to have wisdom. What we need is our leaders to have wisdom. The very thing that is discussing and filling the minds of so many, the same-sex marriage relationship, even now, it's a decision that's going to affect multitudes. And it needs to be got right. Not by party lines. Not by opinion polls. Not by this one and that one lobbying for it. It's got to be put right on principles and walking on the path of the Lord, using the wisdom that he gives us to see what his response and attitude is to this very issue before us today. And no matter how big the issue, and this is part of what we're getting to, the demands of leadership in a nation are awesome. You think of somebody there, be it a king on a throne or a prime minister in a study. You think of how many people are affected by the decisions that he takes and makes. And he's got to get it right. Wisdom is up to that challenge. Wisdom is up to that challenge. No matter how big, how complex, no matter how many are involved, wisdom has a voice to say on whatever issue is before a nation, a people, a king, prime minister. So there again, we've got something to think about. The value of wisdom, better than rubies. The scope of wisdom, from the king downward to the people in the nation. Something else. Not only identifying the product, not only influencing rulers, not only that, we see here the way in which wisdom was involved in creation. The Lord possessed me in the beginning. I'm reading at verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Before anything came into being, wisdom was with God. Nothing existed, but wisdom did. And notice what it says there. It's an amazing statement at the end of verse 26. Whilst that yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, not even a speck of dust. Not even a speck of dust. And yet wisdom existed. When you read over these next few verses in this chapter, it speaks about the first and the second and the third day of creation as we have it in the book of Genesis. And there we have wisdom in operation. There we have we have wisdom involved in creation. And the point has been made. Wisdom is the craftsman by the side of the Lord. There is wisdom, the architect. And all he did was good. Despite the scale, despite the huge, enormous scale on which creation took place, there are no defects in the work of wisdom. So where is all this taking us? I've quite deliberately lingered upon these thoughts and these pictures that are given in this chapter because they build up to the force of verse 32. Wisdom has been establishing her credentials. Wisdom has been setting out the areas where she has been at work. And it's not something small and insignificant and in a corner that can safely be disregarded without any great loss to ourselves. Wisdom has been working on a global scale amongst a multitude of peoples in the loneliness of a throne, precious than stones, rubies or gold. Wisdom has been on public display, and she has passed muster. Wisdom has been on public display and scrutiny, and she has passed muster. She there sets out her table, her credentials, her CV. Notice the scale on which she's been operating, promoting these different qualities in her life, beautifying a person, removing the edges and the corners. The way in which wisdom is so precious, of great value, beyond anything that man values. Wisdom working and operating in a multitude of nations and peoples with all their complex problems in the loneliness of the throne. Wisdom and the broad reach and scope of creation. So often wisdom balancing so many different things together. What a huge scale that is. What's the scale of your life compared to that scale? We sometimes think, I'm too big. My problems are too complicated. What wisdom has to say won't even touch, won't even reach where I am. That's often what we hear people say. Christian wisdom? Pass. Get on with it. We're waved away and dismissed by the hand just like that. And here is wisdom challenging that approach and saying, no, these are my credentials. This is a scale I've been working on. And it all builds up to this command that is now issued. Now, therefore, and that word therefore is important, the conclusion of all that we've been saying, and all's written in this chapter, on the basis of what wisdom has done, now therefore wisdom speaks to you and to me, and wisdom says, listen. Listen to me. We can all appreciate, so far in the sermon, we can all appreciate the great, noble, laudable things about wisdom. We can stand back and we can watch wisdom and creation round about us. You know, at university, one of the great things that fascinated me was homeostasis. The way in which the body has certain markers that it keeps precisely to. Body temperature, 37 degrees centigrade. Not 35, not 40, but 37. And any fluctuation on either side, immediately the body deploys measures to bring it back exactly to that mark. Fascinating. The way in which you and me here today, that's what we're at. That's wisdom at work. And when we think of it like that, you know, there's wonder comes upon us. And we're comfortable. And then suddenly, wisdom turns the tables and wisdom confronts us and wisdom issues this command. He says, now therefore, listen to me. In all of the clamor, in all the buzz of your life, in everything that's going on round about you, be still, be quiet, listen. I'll do you good. God is speaking to us. God is addressing the structures of life, the pattern we follow, the way we travel. God is telling us about the place we're going to. Wisdom. It's not for someone else. It's not for somebody on the throne. It's not for the skies. It's not for a cell inside your body. Wisdom, it's for you. Therefore, pay heed to what God is telling you. Sometimes we think we're on a different scale. Yes, God doesn't know what I've got to cope with. I need something else, someone else to help me. And wisdom says, no, listen, there's the criteria, there's my credentials, there's my CV. This is the scale I've been working on. And you think I can't meet what you've got? Oh yes, I can, but listen to what I've got to say. Wisdom issues a command. Wisdom also illustrates a commitment. What God says must not be dismissed. Something indifferent. Something you can walk away from without any consequence. No. You know, there are some people perhaps who are greater speakers. Good debaters. And sometimes we're quite prepared to go and listen to them. Maybe it's because their voice. Maybe it's because their style of speaking and their grammar and their illustrations. Maybe because it's the material used. Whatever it is. But there are some people that they've got a great style of preaching, speaking, debating. And we go out of our way sometimes to listen to them and follow them. What are they compared to wisdom? Listen to what it says in verse 34. The commitment. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. That's the kind of commitment that we've got to show towards wisdom. That waiting, a guard at the gate, watching and scanning the horizon for the slightest movement that might indicate somebody is coming to be challenged. That's the kind of commitment. He's not sitting with his back against the city walls. He's not there watching what's going on inside the city itself. He's standing vigilant, guarding. That's the kind of commitment we've got to show when we bring our problems to the Lord. Standing at the posts of the doors, you think of a reporter, and he's outside a courtroom, and there's a great case taking place inside, and he's just there waiting for the verdict to come out. And all you've got to wait is to hear the hand of the court usher going to the handle of the door. And he's up there with his book ready to get a note down. Fresh with a story. That's the kind of commitment that we've got to show. Watching, waiting, listening for what wisdom has to tell us. The commitment that we've got to show to wait, to watch, to listen. But then one last thought. There is an indication of consequences. Whosoever finds me finds life. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. There are two simple consequences. What a responsibility hangs upon you and me as wisdom comes and sits beside us and speaks to us tonight about gospel things. What a great responsibility that is. What are we doing with what we've been told? One way, whosoever finds me finds life. Go back to verse 32. Verse 34. The word in both these places is blessed. It means quite simply in modern parlance and conversation today, happiness. That's what people today are looking for. They're looking to be happy. They don't have it because they're not listening. We need as a nation to return to the old paths once again. There was peace. There was noble Christian qualities. There was joy, and there was happiness. Not as a stolen source like we saw this morning in chapter 9, where folly invites people in and says, folly says, oh, come in, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Verse 17, chapter 9. No, that's not what wisdom bestows. It's not an indulgence in some illicit experience. It's not what you get out of a bottle or out of drugs. As we live the way the Lord has appointed, as we make it our resolve and our endeavor day after day to go on the path that He has set out for us, that kind of attitude and that kind of life indeed has happiness as a primary experience. Because the favor of the Lord is upon such a person. Yes, to find wisdom and to follow wisdom, find life. But there's another consequence set out for us here. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. To spur wisdom and to cast wisdom aside and to cast wisdom off. It's done today so easily, so quickly. People just don't want to hear the Christian message. People don't want to hear what the Bible says. And without a second thought, it's just simply laid to one side and they get on. Life as it was before. Plan A resumes. And little do people realize the damage that they're doing to their soul. Without wisdom, without wisdom, we are placing ourselves outside of all that God has made. All that God has done. When we spurn and reject wisdom, we are going and joining the company that is spoken of at the end of the next chapter where we were this morning in verse 18. When we spurn wisdom, we are going in as guests into the house of the woman called folly. And everyone that's in that house is dead. And all our guests are in the depths of hell. The place of death and of darkness. Let me conclude this way. There is no demand that we can face, you, I, or anyone else, where wisdom is out of her depth. If we follow where wisdom teaches us and calls us, if we follow where wisdom takes us, if we listen to the simple truths, the gospel of salvation and of faith and of Christian living that wisdom keeps on repeating persistently with a loud voice on the mountaintop, at the crossroads, at the city gates, if we listen to what wisdom is saying to us whenever she confronts us, if we listen to that wisdom, we shall know indeed happiness, joy, and peace. That's what is needed today. That's what is needed in our land and our nation. We need to listen to what wisdom has to say to us, because what she says is for the good of our soul, speaking as she does of the Lord Jesus Christ and of salvation in him. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, truly thy word stretches our minds and touches our heart and quickens our soul. We are not equal to the challenges it presents before us, and how far short we come when we think of how much more that we would want to say and how more we would want to paint it and present it before others. Lord, forgive our faults and our failings. And do thou, O Lord, overtake and overcome all that is defective with us. And may thy voice and that message come home with all of its simplicity and power with a breath from heaven upon everyone who has heard it this day, in the length and the breadth of our land. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close this evening by singing from Psalm 90. Psalm 90, and we're singing at verse 10. 70 do sum up our days and years we see. Or if by reason of some strength and some 80 they be, yet doth the strength of such old men but grief and labour prove, for it is soon cut off, and we fly hence and soon remove. Who knows the power of thy wrath? According to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Lord, teach thou us our end and mind to bear, and so to count our days, that we our hearts may still apply to learn thy wisdom and thy truth, that we may live thereby. Psalm 90, from 10 to 12, 70 do sum up. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.